Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, got a few things. Some people are gonna call in. I keep getting requests for that rant by Thelonious Monk. So let me get that out of the way.
Listen to the government, the United States government. No, $14.6 trillion, B. All my credit cards would have been cut off a long time before that. All I'm asking y'all to do is balance a fucking budget, B. That's all y'all got to do. Son, we voted for y'all because we were worried about gay rights, marijuana getting legalized, all of these other things that we were concerned about. How can we get roads, more money for schools? You bastards can't even balance a checkbook? A checkbook, B? This is something every American has to go through every week. We got to figure out what we're going to pay, what we got to put off a little bit. You bastards got the $14.6 trillion before you realize, oh, shit, we've reached the debt ceiling. Listen, you're the best and the brightest. Harvard, Yale, Brown, Cornell, this is what we put out. Should have went to Norfolk State. Bastards, you would have got the same education. You would have spent a whole lot less money. Simple fucks. All I'm saying to you is, and this isn't personal, this isn't Democratic or Republican, this is everybody. Stop being a dickhead and balance the fucking budget. My second question, though, my second issue is, how the fuck do you owe China, B? How do you owe China? How can I tell my daughter with a straight face that capitalism is a better system than communism if we're borrowing all of our fucking money from the biggest communist country on the fucking planet? You ass, get your... Oh, stop your life, B. Get your whole shit together. Get all of your shit together. Don't do another press conference. Fuck CNN, MSNBC, Fox News. Don't do any more television appearances until you got my fucking budget balanced. And I'm going to tell you this. Everybody who has a loan to the federal government, fuck paying it. Don't pay your budget. Don't pay your bills because they ain't paying this. The fuck I got to pay my bills for if you don't pay your bills? I'm not doing what you don't do. You're the leader. I'm following. You don't pay, I don't pay. How about that, simple motherfuckers? What is your credit score? What's the government's credit score right now? It's got to be a 350. But you motherfuckers going to tell me I can't buy a car if my credit score is at a certain number? Your whole life is a 350, B. Your FICO score, your Experian, fucking TransUnion, all your shit's low, B. Get your shit together. President Obama, personal to you. All the black people is proud. We got a black president. You acting like one right now, B. Pay your fucking bills on time. Stop. I ain't even got, it's too fucking hot for me to talk. I'm sweating and shit. Shit got me sweating. You know why? Because y'all ain't paid a fucking light bill on earth. That's why 37 fucking states right now going through a heat wave. Because not only y'all not pay the fucking Chinese, y'all didn't pay the fucking light bill. You see how fucking hot it is? I'm fucking, I'm pissed the fuck. I can't.
Well, enough said. Man speaks the truth. There's another one I got another request for. And hello to everybody in there. We've got Charlie Brown listening in Oceanside at the Ape Hangers Grill. Got David from Coast to Coast. We got a guest. We got USA Iron. How you doing, Art? This one here. There's another request for many uses. Well, I'll just let it explain itself.
Perhaps one of the most interesting words in the English language today is the word fuck. Out of all of the English words that begin with the letter F, fuck is the only word that is referred to as the F word. It's the one magical word. Just by its sound can describe pain, pleasure, hate, and love. Fuck, as most words in the English language, is derived from German, the word fricken, which means to strike. In English, fuck falls into many grammatical categories. As a transitive verb, for instance, John fucked Shirley. As an intransitive verb, Shirley fucks. Its meaning's not always sexual. It can be used as an adjective, such as John's doing all the fucking work. As part of an adverb, Shirley talks too fucking much. As an adverb enhancing an adjective, Shirley is fucking beautiful. As a noun, I don't give a fuck. As part of a word, abso-fucking-lutely, or in-fucking-credible. And, as almost every word in the sentence, fuck the fucking fuck. words with the versatility of fuck, as in these examples describing situations such as fraud. I got fucked at the used car lot. Dismay. Aw, fuck it. Trouble. I guess I'm really fucked now. Aggression. Don't fuck with me, buddy. Difficulty. I don't understand this fucking question. Inquiry. Who the fuck was that? Dissatisfaction. I don't like what the fuck is going on here. Incompetence. He's a fuck off. Dismissal. Why don't you go outside and play hide and go fuck yourself? I'm sure you can think of many more examples. With all of these multi-purpose applications, how can anyone be offended when you use the word? We say, use this unique, flexible word more often in your daily speech. It will identify the quality of your character immediately. Say it loudly and proudly. Fuck you!
Okay, that's for the people that keep asking for those. Hello, 586.
Yeah, baby.
How you doing?
Hi. You know who this is. Of course. It's been a long time.
Yeah, Jill, how you doing, Jill?
Out of Detroit, yeah. Well, I'm doing good, I guess. What can I tell you, man? You know, everything is just... I have been keeping a low profile. That's about it. I've been doing my things, supporting here, there, you know, Riverside, this one, that one, doing, you know, wherever, trying to spread it, trying to do whatever I can.
Right.
And then I still have to carry on with my life, and I'm getting older. My husband's getting older, and we're steady facing challenges here in Detroit, you know.
Yeah.
And they're serious challenges, and I'm not talking bullshit, you know. You know, I'm my husband. You know, he's a Democrat. You know, I'm just going to tell you like it is. I don't usually talk politics. I don't know shit about him. But he said, for once, he finally conceded to the fact that he fucked up with Obama because he threw us under the bus. Because my husband is a tradesman; he's a pipe fitter.
Right, and I'm a pipe welder by trade.
Well, you know, he should have signed that bill with Canada and that. You know, he screwed us big time on that one.
Right. Well, you know, did you catch the beginning of the show?
No, baby. I just got on. I was trying to get all my shit together and get settled in. No, what were you guys talking about?
Well, let me, since you missed it, and I keep getting requests for it, I want you to listen to something. Let me pull it up here real quick. You're going to enjoy this. This is by a guy called Thelonious Monk.
Oh, son, are you kidding me?
No, just hang on.
I mean, I don't know him, but I know him.
Okay, all right, here you go.
You're talking about some old school jazz.
No.
This is to the government.
Listen to this.
United States government. No, $14.6 trillion, B. All my credit cards would have been cut off a long time before that. All I'm asking y'all to do is balance a fucking budget, B. That's all y'all got to do. Son, we voted for y'all because we were worried about... marijuana getting legalized. All of these other things that we were concerned about. How can we get roads? More money for schools. The balance of checkbook? A checkbook, B? This is something every American has to go through every week. We got to figure out what we're going to pay, what we got to put off a little bit. You bastards got the $14.6 trillion before you realize, shit, we reached the debt ceiling. Listen, you're the best and the brightest. Harvard, Yale, Brown, Cornell, this is what we put out. Should have went to Norfolk State. Bastards, you would have got the same education and a whole lot less money. Simple fucks. All I'm saying to you is, and this isn't personal, this isn't Democratic or Republican, this is everybody. Stop being a dickhead.
That's right.
Budget. My second question, though, my second issue is, how the fuck do you owe China? China, B? How you owe China? How can I tell my daughter with a straight face that capitalism is a better system than communism if we're borrowing all of our fucking money from the biggest communist country on the fucking planet? You ass, get your... Ooh, stop your life, B. Get your whole shit together. Get all of your shit together. Don't do another press conference. Fuck CNN, MSNBC,
yes.
Fox News.
Yes.
Do any more television appearances until you got my fucking budget balanced. I'll tell you this. Everybody who has a loan to the federal government... Fuck paying it. Don't pay your budget. Don't pay your bills. Because they ain't paying this. The fuck I got to pay my bills for if you don't pay your bills? I'm not doing what you don't do. You're the leader. I'm following. You don't pay, I don't pay. How about that, simple motherfuckers? What is your credit score? What's the government's credit score right now? It's got to be a 350. But you motherfuckers going to tell me I can't buy a car if my credit score is at a certain number? Your whole life is a 350, B. Your FICO score, your Experian, fucking TransUnion, all your shit's low, B. Get your shit together. President Obama, personal to you, all the black people was proud. We got a black president. You acting like one right now, B. Pay your fucking bills on time. Stop. I ain't even got, it's too fucking hot for me to talk. I'm sweating and shit. Shit got me sweating. You know why? Because y'all ain't paid a fucking light bill on Earth. That's why 37 fucking states right now going through a heat wave. Because not only y'all not pay the fucking Chinese, y'all didn't pay the fucking light bill. You see how fucking hot it is? I'm pissed off.
What do you think of that?
You know what? I've heard that. I've heard it several times. And I'm telling you, he is nailing it. He is,
yep,
like nailing it to the cross. Do you hear me? That,
yep,
guy is like, he really is. And then you wonder what's going to happen now with North Korea. You know, now this guy. I mean, you know what? I got to tell you something, Phil. As unaware as I am, I'm thinking, you know, everybody's talking that shit to bring the troops home, the war is over, my ass. They're not doing anything but moving them from one from Iraq to Afghanistan.
Uh-huh.
They're not bringing them home.
No,
and
it's a shell game right now.
Yeah, it is. And so we're so busy. This guy, whoever this guy, I seen this thing on Facebook, this what you played, and I heard it when I first came on. He says it all, like you say, and I follow behind you. Enough said.
Mm-hmm.
What can you say behind that?
Nothing. Some people might need a translator, but.
Well, how much? Eventually, they're going to figure it all out. That at the end of the day, we have no rights.
No.
They're stripping them away one by one. Day
right.
by day, I watch this shit. I watch it. I mean, come on now.
You know, there's another guy who hit it dead on with the American dream. Would you like to hear that?
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. This is by George Carlin.
But there's a reason. There's a reason. There's a reason for this. There's a reason education sucks, and it's the same reason that will never, ever, ever be fixed. It's never going to get any better. Don't look for it. Be happy with what you got. Because the owners of this country don't want that. I'm talking about the real owners now. The real owners, the big wealthy business interests that control things and make all the important decisions. They're not the politicians. The politicians are put there to give you the idea that you have freedom of choice. You don't. You have no choice. You have owners. They own you. They own everything. They own all the important land. They own and control the corporations. They've long since bought and paid for the Senate, the Congress, the state houses, the city halls. They got the judges in their back pockets. And they own all the big media companies, so they control just about all of the news and information you get to hear. They got you by the balls. They spend billions of dollars every year lobbying to get what they want. Well, we know what they want. They want more for themselves and less for everybody else. But I'll tell you what they don't want. They don't want a population of citizens capable of critical thinking. They don't want well-informed, well-educated people capable of critical thinking. They're not interested in that. That doesn't help them. That's against their interest. That's right. They don't want people who are smart enough to sit around the kitchen table to figure out how badly they're getting fucked by a system that threw them overboard 30 fucking years ago. They don't want that. You know what they want? They want obedient workers. Obedient workers. People who are just smart enough to run the machines and do the paperwork and just dumb enough to passively accept all these increasingly shittier jobs with the lower pay, the longer hours, the reduced benefits, the end of overtime, and the vanishing pension that disappears the minute you go to collect it. And now they're coming for your Social Security money. They want your fucking retirement money. They want it back. so they can give it to their criminal friends on Wall Street. And you know something? They'll get it. They'll get it all from you sooner or later because they own this fucking place. It's a big club, and you ain't in it. You and I are not in the big club. By the way,
that's
the same
right.
club they use to beat you over the head with all day long when they tell you what to believe. All day long, beating you over the head in their media, telling you what to believe, what to think, and what to buy.
Brainwash.
Tilted, folks. The game is rigged, and nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. Good, honest, hardworking people, white collar, blue collar, doesn't matter what color shirt you have on. Good, honest, hardworking people continue. These are people of modest means. Continue to elect these rich cocksuckers who don't give a fuck about them. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't care about you at all, at all, at all. You know? And nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. That's what the owners count on, the fact that Americans will probably remain willfully ignorant of the big red, white, and blue dick that's being jammed up their assholes every day. Because the owners of this country know the truth. It's called the American dream. Because you have to be asleep to believe it.
You know, honest to God, boy, I'm telling you, it's so out of hand and so ridiculous right now. I mean, it just is.
Well, you know that that's from 5 years ago. He hit the nail on the head 5 years ago.
Yeah, but they keep on hitting the nail on the head. You know what
that's
I'm
true.
Saying? It's like they're foreseeing the future. As we melt away, look at the weather. You know, that to me is the scariest, and what's happening with everything. And I'll be gone. But it's even with the what's happening with the person's integrity and
well, you know,
their
you,
values.
Were talking about how about rights and stuff. He also did a good one on rights. Would you like to hear that?
Yes.
Okay, hold on.
Customs. Swearing on the Bible. You understand that shit? They tell you to raise your right hand, place your left hand on the Bible. Does this stuff really matter? Which hand? Does God really give a fuck about details like this? Suppose you put your right hand on the Bible and you raise your left hand. Would that count? Or would God say, sorry, wrong hand, try again? And what? Why does one hand have to be raised? What is the magic in this gesture? This seems like some sort of a primitive voodoo mojo shtick. Why not put your left hand on the Bible and let your right hand hang down by your side? It's more natural. Or put it in your pocket. Remember what your mother used to say? Don't put your hands in your pocket. Does she know something we don't know? Is this hand shit really important? Get back to the Bible, America's favorite national theatrical prop.
Oh, my God.
Suppose the Bible they hand you to swear on is upside down, or backward, or both, and you swear to tell the truth on an upside down backward Bible. Would that count? Suppose the Bible they hand you is an old Bible and half the pages are missing. Suppose all they have is a Chinese Bible in an American court, or a Braille Bible and you're not blind. Suppose they hand you an upside-down, backward Chinese Braille Bible with half the pages missing.
Now, I know that's not George Carlin.
It is George Carlin.
Is it?
Yes,
what
it is.
What point does all of this stuff just break?
I knew it was.
Stupid shit that somebody
He's
made
fabulous.
Up. Fucking made it up, folks. It's make
believe. Hey, are you doing the run? Are you doing any runs?
Yeah, we just did... Sunday we did Bill's big cover-up for Brother Benos and Father Joe's down in San Diego.
Yeah. Yeah,
great turnout.
You know, it's a wonderful thing, I got to tell you, Phil. But I don't hardly go out of the house anymore. You know, the weather is all... It's tight here, baby. These people out here are nuts. I'm going to tell you straight up.
Yeah.
But what I do want to say is the Lions kicked the Raiders' ass, and I was kind of caught in between that one because all my family is out there in Oakland, you know? And I knew my dad was watching that game. I just thought I'd put that plug in. But then again, the Lions are my home team, but not really. I don't ever want to call this home. I got to really tell you the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Listen, I'm going to cut you. I don't have much to say, sweetie. You know?
You don't?
Well, no, I really, you know, there's issues that I have, well, because I haven't been out and mingling, you know, in that. But my issues really aren't concerning, you know, I'm on a whole different agenda here now lately.
Yeah, well, you know what? If you just want to say fuck you to somebody, go ahead.
Well, at the end of the day, does it do any good?
If there's two or three or four or five, you know, go ahead.
Yeah, no, but I believe in Amrita.
Okay.
You know you know what that means.
Yes.
And karma. And those two words, everything, it's just like that. There's really nobody, I'm really not mad at anybody, you know? You can't change anything. These motherfuckers are just greedy. The government's greedy. It's all fixed. If the people don't see it, they'll never see it. And I've seen the transformation from, Lord have mercy, the Vietnam War, all the way to this. And how they were disrespected, and now these kids are getting disrespected again, but not like before. Oh, well, that was all right, you know, let's just, whatever. I mean, you know, I could go on, Phil, you know, but
yeah.
I'm, and they're damaged. I know a lot of guys, man, that just came, they come home, you know, leathernecks and that. They're damaged.
I see them at runs. I see them at Bill's shop. I see them all over. I work with some guys that came back that are fucked up.
Yeah,
it's
crazy. They drink, and they're, you know, they're just the ones I know. I can't speak for everybody. You know, there's some guys trying to adjust, but anyway. Yeah. That's why I don't go out, man. I'm dealing with a 14-year-old Yorkie. Don't you wish you had my problems?
Yeah, well, you know, everybody's got problems, but the thing is, you know, the thing that really pisses me off is this shit about Christmas and changing everything. That's what pisses me off.
They've already changed everything. They changed everything when they started bringing illegal. You know what? Oh, my God. We're changing. Are you talking about changing? Christmas is about Jesus Christ.
Exactly. Whatever you believe in, whatever your belief in is, whatever works for you, that's fine. Don't try and force it on me. You know, we got an issue out here right outside my front door on Pendleton where they put up a cross and it got burned in a fire. So they went up there about a month ago and put another one up there, and all the atheists came out of the woodwork screaming that they don't want it up there. And to them, I say, no, they didn't burn it. We had a wildfire and it got burned.
Can I tell you a little story? I was born and raised in Ingleside Terrace in San Francisco, and the house that I was born and raised, not born, I was born actually in the Avenues on 46. And it was all sand dunes. In fact, I posted a picture on 46th Avenue, you know, down on the Great Highway there. And it was all sand dunes. I was 2 years old riding a little scooter. But anyway, I got to tell you this. So, oh, my God. What did you say, Phil? What were we talking about? I lost it just that quick.
Well, I was talking about Christmas and what happened with this cross up on the it's
oh,
a memorial.
Okay, yeah. This is what I got to tell you. So on the corner in our neighborhood, which was Ingleside Terrace, that is above Lake Merced. If anybody knows San Francisco, they know what I'm talking about. And right
above
that,
we got a guy up here in Sirius.
In where?
Sirius, up by Oakland.
Sirius, yeah, well, surely, well, that's down around Pleasant, yeah, that's on the other side, but I'm talking about San Francisco, I was born and raised, okay, but getting back to, oh, my God, Phil, what is, you threw me off again, And here we are on international radio. How do you like me now?
Hey, you know, I'm going to tell you right now. You got people in here agreeing with you. You got people in here who want to know who you are.
Well, I'm on an open book. All they have to do is go on my Facebook. It's easy. The way I put my stuff out is as fast as it comes to my mind. They say I'm ADD, I'm this, I'm that, I'm whatever you want to call me. I'm just a chick that has been around from the 60s on the biker thing, on the bohemian, on and so on and so forth. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have.
And I'm a product, and my son puts it so gracefully because I have a hard time. You know what I mean? Because things are so different now, and I'm still so free, spirit-wise, you know, and out front. And whatever I have on my mind, that shit's coming out.
Well, we got people that say they like your style. Art and Poway says every empty hill is an atheist hill. What more do they want? Tiger Lily says she agrees with you that, oh, my God, the brain fart happens to me all the time. She calls it a Xanax lapse.
I can relate.
Art chimes in with that's good CRS syndrome.
Hey, you know what? Whatever it is, it's going through life and doing whatever you did and making choices and being responsible for your choices. You know what I mean?
Well, it's like right now. I'm not hiding from anybody. We're here. We're talking. And we can talk any way we want. We can talk about anything we want. And anybody who wants to talk about anything they want to talk about or bitch about or complain or just get something off your chest.
And you know what? Screwdriver, I got to tell you this. There is no shame in my game. My cousin, honest to God, this is God's truth. My cousin called me up the other day. Actually, it's my husband's cousin. This whatever. And she says, Jill, do you know what you have on Facebook? I was feeling good that day, and sometimes I get confused, and I post something that should be somewhere else on the wrong thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Are you following me? So I'm thinking I'm in messaging or I'm on YouTube, and actually I'm posting on Facebook my phone number, and get a hold of me, so-and-so. I don't want to, you know, and all this bullshit. And so she calls me two days later and says, Jill, you know you got your phone number and all this bullshit on there, but, why am I even, you know.
Yeah. Well, let me bring in this lady. She's a dynamite lady. Her name, she goes by the handle of Tiger Lily. She just did her own show on Sunday, and she's pretty good at it.
From
Hi,
where?
Phil.
Hi.
She's from Las Vegas, and you have Mama Jill from Detroit.
Oh.
I'll let you. Self?
Hi. Can you guys hear me?
Absolutely.
Oh, yes. Las Vegas. You're from Vegas, eh?
Yeah. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Okay. Yeah, I hear you guys just fine. I'm using Skype, and this is brand new to me. So I just saw Phil's Facebook message saying, give me a call, my show's coming on. And he was so great to be on my show or to come on and listen to my ranting and raving on what's going on here in Las Vegas. Oh, my God, we got a sheriff that's out of control. We've got so many murders of people, of innocent victims. The latest one.
Oh,
was
girl,
just,
get out of here.
Yeah,
the latest. No, I didn't mean to say it like that, but I lived in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
I had a daughter in Vegas on Charleston in the Strip. It's now torn down. It used to be Southern Memorial Hospital, and it's torn down now, and they rebuilt it, and it's University Hospital, Las Vegas.
Oh, yes, yes. That's the one hospital I've never worked in because I used to be a nurse and I worked at every hospital.
But
in,
I'm saying
Las
I had my daughter there in 71.
Oh,
originally,
wow.
I'm from the West Coast. I used to stay at those little motels there on the Strip. I don't know. Have you been in? I have to laugh. I'm a West Coast girl, honest to God. I have to laugh. How long have you been in Vegas?
I guess. How long have we been in Vegas, Burl?
Since
2003. Since 2003. I take too much
damage. Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I was back there, and it took 45 minutes for me to fly from San Francisco to Vegas, and I used to make that flight quite frequent.
Right. Well, there's never a dull moment in Las Vegas. I'll tell you what. The sheriff is out of control. These cops are so trigger happy, and they really messed up. They killed one guy.
Well, you know what?
Guy.
The government. I don't mean to interrupt, but the government. I'm really disturbed about what's going on in Oakland, and I'm very much disturbed what's going on. Period. Because you know what? If you remember back during the Vietnam thing. That we protested, we never had cops spraying us. I mean, this is actually assault. What they're doing to these kids that I was watching at Davis and Sacramento and that.
I'm an open carrier. I have a 45, and I frequently open carry, especially around my neighborhood and when I walk my dogs. And now when I have my granddaughter, she's 6 years old, and at one point on April 13th, I was detained by two cops, and they handcuffed me, took my weapon, and I totally exercised my right to
carry.
I was taught by the Bolt guys that have deprogrammed me from the Kool-Aid.
Did you have
get,
your license?
You know?
You had your license on you?
I had everything on me. I wasn't driving. I was walking here's the story. I was walking my dog. So I had a leash in one hand, and I'm open carrying, and I have a video camera on the other hand, and I saw these two cops doing something that looked suspicious to me, and they came at me. But number one, it's not against the law to open carry. Number two, it's not against the law to videotape them. But I found out later that they were doing something that was questionable.
They were foul. They were wrong.
Yeah, so, and you can see very clearly, I captured it on YouTube. It's gotten several thousand hits, I think.
Are
6,000, 7,000.
Are you serious?
What
is it? Because I'm going to hit it, too.
If you go to the YouTube.
Post it in the chat room, Lily, and I'll send her a message.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah.
I'll do
that'll
that.
Work.
Yeah.
Oh, is that a...
But it's very clear that they were not concerned about my camera. They were, they weren't concerned about my weapon. They were concerned about the camera. It's like, put the camera down now. Put the camera down.
Well, yeah, because that costs them their job and everything else because the camera doesn't lie.
Right. And
let me interject for a second. Mama Jill, you got to understand, Tiger Lily has bigger balls than most guys I know.
I have a sticker that says, my nipples get harder than most men's dicks. I love that one.
Wait a minute. I'm scared to even reply to all that. First of all, to Tiger Lily, your name is rather, anyway, enough of that. But how old are you?
I'm 50.
If you don't mind me asking. Are you
an older
lady or?
Yeah, I'm a grandma, and I'm 50
well,
years
yeah,
old.
Well, yeah, I mean... grandma, like what, in your 50s?
Yeah, 50. I turned 50 on March 9th, and I'm going to be 51 this March 9th that's coming.
Well,
so.
You go, girl.
Yeah,
you.
I got a lot of miles run without oil, as my dad would put it.
Yeah, but you'll be all right, because I'm 66.
There you have
and
it.
I, and
yeah,
I'm still rolling, but I'm slowing down. But once you slow down, trust me, you force yourself. Make
right.
Well, you know, you guys, I just want to let you know that right now we have the United States, Canada, Switzerland, Australia, Brazil, the United Kingdom, New Zealand, Sweden, Denmark, Switzerland, Germany, Russia, France.
And we're sitting here talking like we're having a casual conversation. May I please give a shout out?
You can talk to anybody in Slovenia. You can talk to anybody you want to.
Yeah, I want to give a shout out. To everybody that's listening.
And Brazil.
And, oh, my God, Brazil. I can go on some names, but I can't even think right now. I'm overwhelmed by the thought of many people that I support, red and white, very strong down there and everywhere. And I want everybody to have a wonderful holiday and be safe. And please be careful. And don't drink and ride. That's the motto.
Oh, can I say something about that?
You can say anything you want, dear.
Well, this is very controversial, but one of the things that I had on my bucket list, because I didn't start drinking until I was 40. I mean, I was raised real Southern Baptist and everything, and it wasn't until after, first my mom died, and then when my dad died, I totally came out of my shell. It's like, oh, yeah, I'm getting me a motorcycle, I'm getting me a gun, I'm going to do all this stuff. I'm having a Xanax. What were we talking about? See, my Xanax lapse.
Oh, I have that all the time. Now you're asking me.
Oh, about drinking and driving. Okay, I got it. I got it back. Thank God. It's about drinking and driving.
Now, Phil might want to play some music.
I have some really weird things on my bucket list because my longevity doesn't run in my family. So what I did is one of the things was ride my motorcycle drunk.
I don't mean that with no disrespect.
No, that's okay. I already crossed that off my list. But let me tell you that I feel that actually saved my life. Because, you know, it just takes really two little glasses of wine to get me really a victory kingpin. So I took my two glasses of wine because I wanted to cross it off my bucket list, and I went on I-15 and I'm going the speed limit because I sure as heck don't want to get pulled over and get a DUI and all of that, right? But, you know, I'm just living on the edge here. And there was this old fart. It was dark time. There was this old fart on this gigantic RV, and he did not see me. I was right on his side, and he merged into my lane. And let me tell you, if I would have been sober, I would have lost control of my bike. I would have freaked. I would have crashed, and I would have died. But I was drunk, and I was so happy and so high, I said, oh, there's plenty of room in this lane for both of us. And I just swerved around him very gracefully and got in front of him.
Yeah, you were lucky.
Riding drunk that time saved my life. I crossed it off my bucket list, and I don't ever have to do that again.
But you know what? I've been to that rodeo like four times. I still haven't learned. And I don't even ride a motorcycle. I'm riding a horse.
Right.
And the horse, the motorcycle, I never rode. I always rode behind my old man. That's how I came up. That's how I used to roll. You know what I mean? And as the years went on and whatnot, I bought a horse. Okay? And I've fallen off of her, and I keep falling on the same side, and I got fractures on top of fractures. And, you know, it's just the way it is. And then to boot, she's blind in one eye.
Wow.
So well, what are you going to do? That's the way life is. I think the government is feeling the same thing. I think they're blind in both eyes.
Yeah,
getting back to the subject at hand.
Yeah, they're totally violating our rights and the Constitution. And when they handcuffed me that one day that they handcuffed me for 56 minutes for video.
Why would they handcuff you? Were you a threat?
That's what they were saying. They said, we're not going to just let you, and that's what they captured, because here's what happened. There were two cops, the one in the that is in the cop car, he had already seen me. I had already walked by him. And so when I came back towards him, he was hollering at the cop that's on the sidewalk saying, hey, that lady over there, the lady with the camera. So then that's when he comes up to me and he's like, hey.
Well, yeah, the camera was the issue, actually.
Right.
Yeah.
So then they came up to me and they said that, they handcuffed me. And then the guy that was in the car, he was a very good-looking black guy. And then he says to me, sit down on the curb and cross your legs. And I says, And I says, oh, hell no, I have a gigantic hemorrhoid, and you're just going to have to shove me to the ground and just, I might bleed, and that's going to be on you. And that threw him off his game so badly that he says, all right, then stand against the wall. So I stood against the wall, but he forgot I still had my camera. So I got about 47 or 37 minutes worth of raw footage where you can hear us back and forth. And basically, they held me there because I refused to give them any information about me, even my name. And next time, I will give them my name.
Where did you say you live?
Las Vegas, and that's right there.
Okay,
on,
wait a minute. I'm looking at this thing. I think Phil just sent it to me.
Hi there. I can help you.
Wait a minute. Vegas is really, really. See, I was in Vegas in the. Well, I had my daughter there in 71. Everything was still old school. And they had the hotels and they had the hacienda down at the end of the strip there. They didn't have the mall and all that crap, man, because I've been back to Vegas. You could see when you flew in to McCarran. I can't remember the name of the damn airport. When you used to fly in, you could see Vegas was a piece of land. You know, I did I'm sorry, hon. Excuse me. I did 120, whatever, a 200-degree turn on you, didn't I? For what you were saying.
Yes, I'm up at the airport.
Well, no, all of a sudden it dawned on me about Vegas. I lived in Vegas. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I really did. I spent a lot of time in and out of Vegas. And see, you came later on. But Vegas used to have little hotels, motels, and I remember I used to stay it was right down from the hacienda. It was called the Sombrero. The Sombrero. It was on the other side of the street, and then they had one up on the next block around the corner there called the Minuteman or some bullshit. Well, that was appropriate. But,
right.
And the north side is where the blacks were, you know. See, they didn't have on downtown, they didn't have it like they have it now with this roof and that, you know, where the Nugget and all that is, Fremont Street.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm rambling. I'm getting ready to sign off, you guys. You know what? Because I'm sitting here drinking vino. I'm looking at Vegas. Things change. It changes. Do you know where I live, sister?
Huh?
I live 3 blocks out of Detroit. I live on 8 Mile. You have to understand where I live. And I told my husband that trust me on this one. I got an over and under at the front door, and we got another one over here and another one over yonder there, and plus we got ghetto gates on our house. We've been here since 81. I'm not going to be house poor. We have no debt at all. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
For the record, 8 Mile separates Detroit, is Wayne County, and then there's 8 Mile, and on the other side, which is north, is Macomb County. I'm 3 blocks in.
Wow.
So when it's New Year's Eve, it sounds like Vietnam. And all my neighbors are black. And I remember when the first... I'm not prejudiced or anything. I just watch my back and tell my husband every time he leaves. You know what I'm saying? You got to be on your guard all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It could be with white folks, too, but I'm telling you. Trust what I know. These people
we even got some. We even got some red and white brothers listening in Santiago, Chile right now.
Well, I wish, you know what? Oh, in Santiago. That is so cool. You know, you know what book I'm reading right now? I probably shouldn't even mention it. I have all Sonny's books, and I have all everybody else's books, you know. And I'm reading that book that Tate, Into the Abyss. You know which one I'm talking about?
It's not familiar.
Not off my head, no.
Yeah, well, he ended up being an informant on that bullshit, you know, out of Anchorage, Alaska and all that back in the day, years ago. And at the end of the day, at the end of the book, they thought he got a real good ass kicking. Well, I know, it's no secret, it's in the book, you know what I'm saying? There's nothing I don't know, honey, that I just read it, that's all. You know, and definitely support, and... That's about it, Phil. I'm just rambling, man.
Well, okay.
You know, I'm not even thinking about this lovely lady that you introduced me to. I'm so me, you know, right now, especially.
Nice meeting you.
You know what? And I, you know, I'm really honored, and it's a pleasure to meet you, too. and I'm just sitting here, and I just am drinking and having a good old time, but I should take it more serious. I would like to hook up with you at some point, get some information, you know. There's the other lady I met through you, Phil.
Yeah?
You know who I'm talking about. Wait a minute. Teresa.
Right.
Yes. From up in the UP.
Right.
Lovely lady.
That's you're talking about Teresa Chess.
Exactly.
Yeah. Good lady.
Hey, Phil.
Yes.
Phil.
Go ahead, Tiger.
Yeah. Hey, I'm going to have to go. My granddaughter just came in here, and she's crying for some reason. I got to figure out what's going on.
Okay.
That's right.
All right.
Thank you.
Nice talking to you,
pleasure.
Phil, and thanks for dropping by on my show, and I'm going to give you a shout-out next time.
Okay. We'll talk to you guys later.
Nice,
you
nice
too.
Talking to you, and with the chat and everything. Bye, Gig.
Okay, bye-bye. See you, Phil.
All right, Jill, take care.
We, you know what, dude, this ain't my thing. Oh, my God. I wish you were sitting here next to me to get my drift.
Yeah.
Ciao, baby.
All right, good night. Have a good night. We'll talk to you,
you
soon.
You too, brother. Be safe.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, I think it's time for a little Mike P. Let's see. Anybody else want to call in? The number is 347-826-7753. And give me a couple of minutes. I'm going to play this song. It's called, it's actually by Mike P, the big homie out of San Fernando Valley. It's called One Percenter.
Full of the
Down in Oceanside, where you can get the best food that at a reasonable price.
Hey, thanks for the plug. Yeah, I was just thinking about what pissed me off when they were talking. I thought about, I had this lady come in, and as a nurse, just like Tiger Lily, I'm a nurse, and I've had so many times with patients get rides from the ambulances to the hospital, and then they just take off walking right out of the ambulance. They just basically wanted a ride downtown, and they knew that you can't, by law, you have to call an ambulance if someone asks for one. So it happens all the time. And then once you get discharged, if you're homeless or whatever, you get discharged from the hospital, they give you tokens for a taxi ride and then train fare, all kinds of public transportation. Well, this had a lady come in, and she drank 3 or 4 beers, got some food, sat outside in the in front of the restaurant smoking a cigarette and told one of my girls, hey, I need you to call an ambulance. I need to go to the hospital. So they came and ran and got me, and I came out there, and I'm all, hey, are you, you know, I'm a nurse. I don't see any signs and symptoms of distress. You're breathing obviously fine. You're sitting here having your breathing treatment with your cigarette. Looks like you're good. You're walking, you're talking, you're drinking. What's going on? And she basically didn't want to go to the homeless shelter that they had paid. She'd been riding all the public transportation all day and stopped off there downtown and decided she didn't want to go to the homeless shelter, that it was warmer and she got better food at the hospital, so she wanted to go back to the hospital. So the girls had already dialed 911, so of course, 3 big old fire engines pull into my restaurant, all taking up my whole parking lot. So I went straight over to them and told them, she had said, didn't she wanted to kill herself, so it was perfect. I went over and told them, hey, she's 5150, don't wait, she doesn't need to go to the hospital and waste our money there. She needs to come in and let them do a psych eval. And so anyways, cop pulled in, grabbed her, took her to us for a psych eval. But happens all the time. They know how to work the system. They know how to just get back in an ambulance. If you say, hey, call 911, they get a free ride to the hospital, and they get a night stay, and we all pay for it.
Right. Absolutely.
But I can't afford to go to the emergency room, and I own a business, and was that, the American dream I'm working? Yeah, that. And I can't even go to the hospital.
You heard George Carlin earlier, there is no American dream. They fucking lied to you.
That's right. I'm living the American reality is what I'm living, not the dream.
Mm-hmm.
I'm back.
We got somebody else called back. Jill, did you call back?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm back. You know what? Only because I did a little homework here.
Okay, hold on 1 second. Hello. Charlie, this is Jill. She's in Detroit. Jill, Charlie's in Oceanside, California, my neck of the woods.
Oh, yeah. My old neck.
They happen to own a restaurant. It's called Ape Hanger's Grill.
Hey,
wow.
Jill.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. I got confused. I thought you lived in Oakland.
Well, you know what? I was born and raised in San Francisco, and actually my folks divorced when I was 2, and my dad, he still lives in Oakland. He lives in East Oakland Hills. And my mom, we moved her out of San Francisco a few years back, and she passed. Yeah, but I am. I mean, I still say that's my hometown, and it is. I have family, brothers, and sisters, and that there. But somehow I ended up here in Detroit and got married for the first time in my life. And I'm stuck here.
Got it. How do you feel about people using our ambulance system as a transportation?
Well, that doesn't go like that here in
Detroit.
Oh, that's
just a California thing, huh?
Yeah, because in Detroit is broke. Detroit is almost at the
point.
Bad news
for you, California is broke too.
Yeah,
I was like, wait a minute.
We're almost at the point of hiring a business, you know, the governor taking over. And so whoever we voted in, business administrator, whatever you call it, can knock out whoever you voted or whatever you did. They can change everything. That's how much power the government has just instilled right now, because this town, trust me, is broke, especially after Kwame. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
But it's a fact. I don't know if you guys ever see the news or anything, but they're going to have a financial advisor take over. And if that happens, that's going to be not good. You know?
Well, I got news. Just a little while ago, they said that the United States doesn't have any gold.
Doesn't
I don't know.
Have
you seen, if you've been on Coast Highway, there's lots of gold down there. Everyone's turning their gold in. Where's that going? Oh, wait,
yeah.
Overseas. That's right.
Overseas, exactly.
I think everyone who owns those, it goes overseas.
But we've been stroking them so long that, you know, it's sickening. I won't watch the news any longer. First of all, the media is just the worst, you know, for what they put out. And
well, I got news for you. If you believe anything they tell you, you better take
nuts.
Another Xanax.
Yeah, and take a Zoloft on top of it, and then have
exactly.
a cocktail. You know, I mean, come on, let's get real here. But how was them Santa Ana winds? I heard they really whipped up this year.
They're blowing a little harder today, but that's okay.
I see Tiger Lily came back. The same thing happened to her. She's at a hurt ER. They'd come in to get warmed up and get meals. Yeah, we were. There's a thing at certain hospitals where the patients can stay there you're just trying to find a bed in like a rehab. You can't kick them out onto the street. The law is like prohibited. I'm not sure how it is in Nevada. Tiger Lily, she put something on here, what it's like there. Because we can't kick them out here. They stay in the hospital, especially a public hospital. It's part of their deal with the city. Like, I don't try city. They'll stay and stay and stay. And then, again, we'll finally kick them out with bus passes to a shelter. And then they turn around and come right back within 24 hours.
Oh,
so.
Jesus.
Well, you know, just so you know, Jill, Tiger Lily has a message for you. She said Zoloft gives you a boner for a long time.
Well, I need it because I'm really lucky to just be here. But here's my thing. So Tiger Lily and you also are caregivers.
Right.
How cool is that? Can I tell you something really interesting? Have you ever heard of Cinnanon?
Cinnabon, what?
Cinnanon.
I'm just kidding. No.
Now, are you talking drug rehab? You're talking some kind of rehab, or am I totally off track?
No, I'm not talking about any rehab. I was just saying we send patients to homeless shelters, but we don't.
Yeah,
you know,
well, patients, but obviously they do have issues. They're patients of some sort, and they're homeless. So it could be drugs. It could be a number of things. You know what I mean?
Hmm.
Cinnanon. I can't believe neither one of you have ever heard of it. And it originated in Venice, in L.A. It was the first big drug nonprofit, the biggest one. Chuck Diedrich ran it, and his wife, Betty, was a black woman who was an old prostitute. But anyway, what they did is they took you in, they shaved your head, you give up everything. It was like a $30 million.
It's in the 70s. Back in the 70s, it was a church.
Yeah, in the 60s. And Stan Kenton's son lived up there in the hills somewhere, and he put a rattlesnake in. Somebody put a rattlesnake. They wanted to build an airport up there. I can't give you the details right now because it's just way too much information. But you have heard of it.
I'm actually on Wikipedia right now reading about it. So yeah,
Center
I can't. I won't
yeah.
lie. I won't yeah. lie. I'm cheating. So.
But that's okay, baby. Excuse me for calling you baby, but I just want you to know
you
that,
call me that
what
I'm
old saying.
Take it.
Yeah, but and I was actually in it for 6 months, and they had me up at Tamales Bay. You know, it was, well, I'm not going to go to my, it doesn't even matter. I don't even give a shit because I'm free. I paid my dues. I don't owe any taxes. I don't owe nothing. No credit card debt, nothing. I don't owe anybody anything. I'm free, and I'm here to say it.
Mm-hmm.
And if they ever want to come knock on my door, they can bring it.
I'm taking headshots.
What, Phil? You're taking headshots?
Taking headshots.
Where's Bill?
Bill on Tuesdays. Bill's still taking care of his mom on Tuesdays. She had some cataract surgery this morning, and he's over there taking care of her.
Oh,
he'll be back Thursday, though.
Yeah. I probably.
She's 85 years old, so he's doing his dues.
He is?
No, Bill's mother.
She is. Yeah,
yes.
My dad is too. He used to have his office in Livermore.
Uh-huh.
You know, I lived on a street called Detroit, right off Foothill Boulevard, when I came
up. Well, that's
kind
of ironic that now that you live in Detroit, no?
That's like foreshadowing.
Yeah, isn't that weird? That is way too weird. And then my dad moved up to East Oakland Hills, and when they had the huge fire, it came within a mile of his home. You know, I'm not going to mention the street that he lives on, you know, but... He's always done quite well, but we lived on this street, Detroit, and then they built the College of Holy Names and Skyline Boulevard, and I remember all that when I was a kid coming up, you know what I mean? My grandparents lived off Lake Merritt in Oakland.
Uh-huh.
You know, things were so different, and I just got back, you know, I went out there in July.
Okay.
Oh, my God. When I pulled up into Michigan, I thought I was in the country.
Yeah. Hey, Charlie. Hold on one second, Jill. Charlie.
Yeah.
I want you to stay on the line because I'm going to bring in these two guys from Boston. They always have a lot to say. Jill, I think you know who Pete is, right?
Who?
Pete?
I'm sure
Pete and Gino?
Yeah, Gino. Oh, oh
last time
God.
You talked to Gino.
Wait a minute. It's been a while, but wait a minute. Gentile.
Yeah, he's on the line.
Gino,
you want to talk to him?
Gentile, because I got some Gentile people here in Detroit. The Gentile.
Okay, hold on one second. I'll bring him on. Hello, Pete.
Yeah.
What's up? We have Mama Jill. Mama Jill wants to say hello to Gino.
Oh. Hi, Joe.
Hey, Gino.
Hey, how's here? What's
how
up?
You doing?
I do what I always do, complain.
Hey, that's a
right
good
now,
life.
I was watching atheists trying to tell us that there's no Jesus.
Wait, but isn't SOA coming on right now?
No.
It's off.
The season's done.
Are you kidding me? Wait a minute. The season's done. Ain't that a bitch? What happened?
Man,
I remember he
every
stripped
time
the...
football season comes around, it goes real quick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, what do you guys think about the Lions? The Lions bit the Raiders in the ass.
Yeah. That's too bad because I like the Raiders.
Well, you know what? Me too, to be
but
honest
Detroit,
with you. And
Detroit should get something this year because they never been there. And it's good
no.
to see somebody that's never been there.
Yeah,
that's
but
right.
they ain't going to never get there either. I live
well,
here.
Hey, it's up to God.
Yeah, but they need more help than God can give them.
Yeah.
Trust me.
Trust me.
They need
Debo,
to just clean it.
I see Debo set a good. So even though he lost, people still thank Jesus for making him where he is today. So, see, Tebow ain't at least he ain't a phony. At least he's real.
Yeah.
Even though Brady kicked his ass.
Gino's a little out of it tonight. He's been taking Vicodin and Valium. Can you believe it?
Yeah. Nice cocktail right there.
Yeah, I know, huh?
Well, I think I ruined my back operation by picking up 400 pounds.
How many pounds?
400.
The guy, 400. I'm not supposed to be picking up steel and stuff. And, you know, they operated on my back. I got 3 rods in my back, and I'm supposed to be healing it, you know. I went swimming, but I felt real good, so I started picking up steel again, and then started...
What do you do, Gino?
What do I do?
Yeah.
He's a problem solver.
No, but you lift his steel, obviously.
Yeah, I like to put engines and put them in the pickup. I used to take engines and steel and bring it in and cash money, you know?
Oh, okay. Oh, I see what you're saying.
He's 65 years old. He doesn't work anymore.
I hurt
my disc. Well, it's all good. You're retired.
No, I hurt my disc, and I didn't know my disc were hurt.
Oh, jeez.
Then they said they were all crushed. From years. Oh. It's from years of abuse. It has nothing to do with what I was doing.
Is it in your lower back or in your neck?
No, my lower back. By my butt.
Okay.
My butt.
Oh, on your butt. You know, my husband had an operation on his neck. He had the same problem pretty much so, where everything was worn down to the bone. And they put cadaver and this, that, and they filled it, went in through his throat. He was like in and out, and he's good to go, you know?
Yeah.
It's amazing what they do now. If you want to be jacked up for a few months, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't like being jacked. I couldn't walk for 3 days. I had a
yeah,
but I did. I started walking.
Yeah, Jen Peely. You got any relatives here in Detroit?
Really, no, I don't.
There's a bunch of Gentiles out there.
Yeah, there really is.
Gentiles in Worcester.
There's a whole bunch of brothers here, and the one brother used to own the Duchess. And they made that movie of Eminem. He lived in the trailer park right down the street from the Duchess Lounge, which was on the corner of DeQuinda and 8 Mile, because I lived 3 blocks off 8 Mile. But anyway, their name was Gentile. It's a bunch of brothers, you know what I mean? And, one of them, they called him Tony Elbow.
Welcome from Italy.
Yes. Well, the parents and the grandparents, you know what I mean? Like my husband, my grandparents, you know?
Yeah.
So we got silent on the Italian thing, but, oh, man, we do it up on Christmas.
Italians are Italians. Italians who wish to be Italian.
We got a guy out here named David up north by Oakland, and he said to let you guys know that he's giving a shout-out because he's from Worcester.
Worcester, not Worcester.
Sorry.
You can tell Phil's from California. Worcester. It's Worcester, Phil.
Not Winchester.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he said Worcester, like that sauce. What's that sauce called?
Worcester.
Hey, wait.
Winchester.
Wait. It's my show. If I make a mistake, I can make a mistake.
That's right, babe.
You're right. You can do anything you want.
Whatever that fucking sauce is. What's that sauce called?
Oh, never mind.
I got a message from somebody in Boston earlier today that said it's nipply outside. Well, I said, send pictures.
But it's going to be in the 50s tomorrow.
You know what? The weather's crazy. What's going on? We're supposed to be in this, have a white Christmas, all this. I don't know how to act. I'm scared to drive up to even see my horse. It's an hour drive to go up north. And obviously, we have no snow. Do you guys have snow in Jersey and
We're supposed to get it on Christmas, though.
Yeah,
I can see it on the mountain.
See, there is a God.
Yes, there is.
Yeah.
Well, David, why don't we have David call in from the Worcester area?
From where?
I see him on the chat there. David, coast to coast.
I can't see the chat. I still got that video on in Vegas. Oh, my God, Vegas, Lord have mercy. I never... That's a whole other story, brother. When I was in Vegas, they never had pictures or took them back in the thing, and you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I used to roll through there, man, I had the door. I had the guy, the bellman, the guy at the bar. Everybody. It was regular hookup where everything was just hooked up. Why did I go to this subject? Because I know nothing else. What the hell?
Well, we've got you David calling in from Oakland, up by Oakland. And we'll get to him in a minute as soon as I see him. But,
what part of Oakland?
Well, you can ask him. You can ask him, Joe, when he calls in.
Yeah, because I wonder how Gypsy Rose is doing, how everybody's doing. I know a lot of folks are not around right now.
No, some are on vacation.
Yeah. Everybody's having a nice vacation. Little relaxing time is always good.
Exactly. But we're like I said earlier, we're in the United States, Canada, Australia, Germany, the United Kingdom, France, Russia, New Zealand, Switzerland, Denmark.
Philip, he needs a number to call in.
Hey, you know what I say? Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, baby.
Yeah.
Okay, Grandpa. He wants to. David in the chat room needs a phone number to call in.
Wait, what is it?
Been down in the chat. Obviously, he hasn't scrolled back, but I put it in there for him.
All right. Sounds good.
Yeah, where's Blues? Have you talked to Blues?
No. The last time I got a message from her was she was having trouble with her phone.
Yeah, her phone's still down. Because I do see her on the thing here.
Uh-huh.
And, I see, I got a sweet T-shirt from Amy, Smackdown at Sturgis. I'm sorry, I just had to mention it. Really nice tee.
God bless America.
Gino.
What, baby?
What about some nice tortellinis?
Yeah.
The mangiare. We can get into that, right? I still have my husband's tortellini maker to roll the dough. Oh, my God. We're going to talk
about it. My grandmother used to do it by her fingers.
That's right. That's how you make them. You got to put them together, put the stuff to filling, and then you know what I mean?
Yeah, we have David, you're live.
Hello.
David.
Hey, Dave. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
How you doing?
I'm doing
David.
Pretty good.
Hi, Dave.
Yeah, I don't live in Oakland. I live in Ceres, right near Modesto in Central California.
Well, you know what? I was just down there in July, actually.
Oh, yeah?
I almost couldn't believe how far in.
Hey,
I'm
Phil. My uncle is Hermes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Hermes is my uncle.
Oh, okay, David. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, you changed your handle because you didn't have Coast to Coast before.
Yeah.
Hermes is your uncle?
I guess Charlie Brown's from Merced, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. I'm right near Merced.
Wow.
Yeah, Charlie Brown happens to own a great deed. It's called Abe Hanger's Grill. It's on South Coast Highway in Ocean. Three blocks from the beach. You can buy your food and walk down to the beach and watch the sun go down.
Oh, man, that's awesome, dude. But, yeah, I'm just I'm enjoying the show tonight. I haven't listened to the show in a while, but it's a pretty good show tonight.
You think so?
Yeah.
Hey, baby,
we got all kinds of going on. We got wine drinking, we got pot smoking, we got Zoloft.
That's right, baby. Run it
down.
To
the end of the world.
I'm about to start mine up right now.
You know what? Can I tell you something? At my age, I've earned this. You know,
you
I'm lucky to still be here and whatever
yeah,
else. It doesn't even matter. I'm just grateful. You
at
know,
your age,
I'm
you can
like,
do her anything you want to say. Like I told you earlier, if somebody pissed you off, you want to give them a shout-out, If you have the number, give me the number and I'll call him and you can tell him to get fucked.
Yeah, well, you know what? There was one
right.
little broad that pissed me off, but that ended real quick. Why get mad anymore? You know, you think positive, you laugh
yeah.
at it, and you keep on stepping. It's not even mm-hmm. worth being locked up
brother,
or even spending the money
later.
On the dumb
brother
shit.
Call.
Is Tiger Lily still on the line?
She's been in and out.
Oh, she's in and out?
yeah.
With
well,
my
if you're still
mouth?
Listening, hey, Tiger Lily, you're awesome, dude. I love you.
hey,
still
guys.
In the chat. She's
with
still in
my
chat.
Mouth, you can't blame her.
yeah, she's awesome. She tells it how it is, dude. I like Tiger Lily.
Yeah, she has bigger balls than some of the guys I know.
Yeah, she's a savage.
Tiger Lily. Is she? I want to see how she looks. Is she Oriental with that name?
no, she's white.
light damn near white or what?
No, light brown.
Oh.
Yeah, light
hey,
brown,
let me
huh?
ask you, is that a disrespect? This is what we used to call way back in the day, early in the 60s, Chicanos down in L.A.
No.
No.
No, but let me, I got something I want to ask you guys. I got something, listen to this, okay? This came from the Federal Appeals Court. It's the 10th U.S. Court of Appeals, and they upheld a frisk during a traffic stop. As long, and how this starts out, Art sent me this, and if Art wanted to call in, it'd be cool too, but as long as a police officer cites his own safety as the reason, he may frisk any motorist during a traffic stop.
Oh yeah.
Get
yeah.
the fuck out of here.
Yep.
Yeah.
Three-judge panel evaluated whether this officer was following the law when he searched the driver after he was pulled over in Albuquerque, New Mexico, for driving with expired registration.
It doesn't surprise me at all, dude.
No.
Just spray
and
me
the
with
reason
some,
they, the reason they...
Yeah,
they,
I don't... Are you in California, Phil?
I'm down south in Oceanside, 38 miles from the border.
Oh, so you know about California then, so... I don't even have
I
to...
I know about California,
years.
Too.
yeah.
I was born right there.
Very corrupt.
Well, according to the latest available FBI statistics, six officers were killed while pursuing an ordinary traffic infraction in 2009. That represents 0.008 thousandths percent of the 786 sworn officers nationwide. Four of those patrolmen were gunned down as they approached the stopped vehicle, and only one was shot while standing at the officer's offender's vehicle window. But they come back, this is what they came back with. The reasonable officer could have concluded that the long and hard objects detected in this guy's pockets might be used as instruments of assault, particularly given that an effort to ask this gentleman about the identity of the objects had proved fruitless. And all he had in his pocket was a couple of pipes. It turned out
it wasn't even valid.
No.
Wow. That's crazy. I'm not surprised, though, you know?
No, and that's on my blog. It's under, as long as the police officer cites his own safety as the reason, he may frisk a motorist at any time.
They can do what they want. I've been hearing that ever since I was a kid. I learned it when I was a kid. You hear me? They can do what they want, and they're doing it, and they're abusing it, and they've taken it to a whole nother level. It doesn't even matter how much we bitch, what we say, whatever we do. They'll just lock our ass up.
You deserve what you tolerate.
No.
But
sorry.
It doesn't matter. They'll spray pepper spray and throw your ass in jail and whatever. And the jails are so crowded, for Christ's sake. It's, you know what? I'm so glad I'm old. On my way out, when I lay down sometimes I just, honest to God, because what's going on here is just crazy. So I'd like to go see my horse, go to the country, whatever. Anyway, I'm going to sign off, dude, because I know I'm just taking up too much time. And I hate that lady, shit. Oh, boy.
Take a sip.
Screwdriver, where are you? Bail me out, man.
All right.
I'm
what
promise.
I'm gonna do, what I'm going to do real quick is I'm going to play a quick song. Well, I'm going to play a song, and it's called Forever Angel by Axel Rudy Tell.
Oh, yeah, I just...
Cool.
Yes.
Give me a couple of minutes to do a couple of things here, and I'll be right back.
Well, my husband
okay.
just walked in, so I know I got to get off the phone because he's going to start hollering at me. But I love you guys. I'm going to listen to this song, and I'm out.
Okay.
Okay, ciao.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
Hello, 951.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, how you doing?
Oh, good. Good. Listen, I just got a chance to tune into your radio show. My name's Bob. I'm from Riverside here. I happen to be a safety officer for Bait Local 27, and got tuned into your show through Bait Local 6 website regarding John's death and the article they had there. Anyways,
right.
I've actually really enjoyed it. What I do for a living, I end up four-buying a lot through Backwoods, and I don't get very good radio reception, so I've actually been downloading your program into my phone and then playing it through my my truck radio that way. So I've gotten to listen to a lot of it. So just wanted to thank you.
Oh, and you're very welcome for that. And just like he Robert has said, people download the show. Last Thursday's show had 25,000 downloads.
Oh, that's great.
Bill and I must be doing something right.
Well, and I think that makes it real convenient for people because you can just download it and listen to it at your leisure as needed. So, anyways, and I think you had Fran on last week or the week before, didn't you?
Fran's a regular, and since you brought up about John, I just want people to know every time you're driving in California, and usually it comes out every few months, and you see look twice, watch out for motorcycles. John had a lot to do with that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I got to tell you, I only got to talk to him once, but he's a big reason that I ran for safety officer position in my local. He was very inspiring to me and the work he's done and the work that I do in our local here in Riverside. Whether it's as simple as putting up signs, our big thing this year is we are going to be paying for some of the signs that we're going to be putting on streets, and we've already started talking with the city and the county and those different departments as far as putting up temporary signs that just say, hey, look twice for motorcyclists, and they're smaller A-frames that we can move around as needed. The other thing, you know, that I really like to do is get new riders, whether it's as simple as instructing them on where to take the class or where to pick up the right hardware so they're comfortable enough so they can ride as long as they want, et cetera, et cetera. But a lot of it is all just kind of regurgitated from John's work. I think the guy was absolutely amazing, and I know he really inspired me.
He's going to be sorely missed.
Absolutely. Yeah, very much so. I'm really regretful I never got a chance to meet him. I've only been an Abait member for a few years, so.
I saw him the week before, and I had no clue.
Yeah, and that's kind of what a lot of people said. And he, you know, again, he just did tremendous work for our state board, our last state board meeting, which actually we hosted here in Riverside, well, and adjoining city of Yucaipa, a business member for a pizza place. Anyways, he wasn't able to make it to that meeting, unfortunately.
And he was a big promoter of that. He usually tried to make everything. Fran, I talked to Fran earlier. Well, I talked to Fran earlier through an email, but she had to go to work, otherwise she'd be calling in. She's becoming quite a regular on the phone. But the reason I wanted to say, you know, when you brought up the celebration of John, the celebration of life for John Del Fennell, his final resting place will be at Fort Rosecrans, which will be this is on my blog for anybody who wants to go look at the flyer, but it'll be at Fort Rosecrans on Friday, January 27th, 2012.
Yeah.
You meet at Fort Rosecrans at 10 for the lineup with the Patriot Guard riders, and then there'll be a ride for lunch after the service. And then the celebration of life will be on Saturday, January 28th, 2012. Come share your stories, good times, or with family and friends. It's going to be at Mount Soledad at 12 noon. Prayers kickstands up at 1:15. They're going to ride to the American Legion Post. Music and finger foods to follow. In Fran's request, she says, please, no flowers, cash donations appreciated to support the expenses. Any left will be donated to the Freedom Fighters. Please bring a bandana representing your club or organization, which will be attached to a cane used by John to be presented to Fran as a keepsake. If you need any further details, it's moagic at sbcglobal.net. I'll have to go in and get this. I can't post it off the flyer, but I'll put it in the chat room when I get a chance.
Yeah, that'd be great, because I heard you talking about it last week. I already got it written on my calendar. I'm looking forward to hitting both of the events.
Just to answer your question, Robert, about the feds, yes, the feds, DEA, ATF, they all listen to the show because they think we're sending subliminal messages to all the clubs.
Ah, yes, yes. Well, I can imagine. I hadn't heard you say that one before, but that's just fine. You know, being a member of a bait, we're all pretty low key, so.
Yeah, and just so you know, like right now, our audience, we're in the United States, Russia, Canada, United Kingdom, Australia, Germany, Denmark, France, Switzerland, the Ukraine.
And you're right out of Oceanside yourself, right? So you're right down the road.
New Zealand, Germany, Slovenia, Russia. We're all over the world here. And Brazil, Santiago, Chile.
Wow. Well, I'm glad I got a chance to listen to you guys. Again, it was on Abate Local 6's website, the radio station. Did you, I think you'd mentioned the date. What's coming up in Anaheim? There's Freedom, what's that, Easy Rider Show?
Easy Rider Show is going to be January 7th. I just, Bill just gave me my free tickets today.
Oh, cool. And it looks like, because I know I'm going to be up in Sacramento on the 8th and the 9th. That's when Assembly Board 695, as well as I think it's 1047, is going to be heard. So I'm really looking forward to that. But the Easy Rider show's on the Saturday, so it should be pretty easy to hit that. And then,
yeah,
I'm going to be heading up to Sacramento myself. Are you planning?
Yeah, it'll be in Sacramento the next weekend on the 14th. But I will have a booth, a corner booth. I'll be with Pete Alva and some of the guys from the Sons of Anarchy for the whole day. I can't tell you exactly who's going to be there because it hasn't been confirmed yet, but I know they'll all be there as they always are.
Oh, sure. Okay, cool. Well, usually there's a few of you bulk guys. Oh, you know, any good Sacramento meeting that we have, so should be fun.
Right, and then Bolt is having a summit meeting in Vegas. I think it's the... If I'm not mistaken, it's January 6th, 7th, 8th, and the 9th possibly.
Right,
Which Fran was invited to come to that one.
Yeah, I know Beta California is having a meeting in Sacramento there as well. I think we're at the La Quinta Inn. But anyways, good stuff. Thank you very much.
Yes, you're welcome.
And
you're welcome to call back anytime.
Okay, killer. Yeah, there's always all sorts of fun and new exciting things happening in the land of motorcyclists' rights. Of course, I aim more towards safety. Abate being the American Brotherhood aim towards education. I always hope to do my small part in educating. I don't think anyone could ever... John did, but...
And for me, Robert, it's this. I don't like to be told what to do. I like to be given a choice.
Well said. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, thank you, sir. We'll talk to you later.
Okay, bye-bye.
Oh, bye-bye.
And, Charlie, yeah, you owe me a big one for that one. I sent Pete down there to do that. I told him what was going on over there, and he wanted to get some shots for his movie. If you want to call back, the number's 347-826-7753. Let's see. Let's see. I'm just looking for something here. We'll go back with another Axel Rudy Pell song here. I just want to check out which one. Okay, I got it. I have to do a little key punch in here. There we go. This is by Axel Rudy Pell. This one's called In the Air Tonight. Play this from internet. I could do a couple things and then bring the callers in. You guys are live right now. As soon as I'll play the song for a couple of minutes, I got to do something here, and then I'll be right back. And then I'll bring you both back on.
Thank you.
Charlie.
Yes.
So, you have the flu now.
You
it wasn't suck. Something you ate.
No. No.
You
said
it's one of the girls.
Yeah.
So, what happened with the girl that you got the flu?
Yeah, I think she's fired now. I don't know. She came in. I sent her home because she was crying that her monkey hole was burning. I said, get your ass home. I don't want you here at work. And then we went to the event on Sunday, and then yesterday I woke up, and it was all over. So I think she's fired.
I just got instant messages. I want to know what a monkey hole is.
Oh, come on now.
Hey, some people need a picture.
Some people need the picture. Yeah, that nice little sphincter valve where the sun doesn't shine.
Okay. I knew.
Yeah.
No, Pete asked me. He said he was intrigued by when I, because I gave him one of the flyers.
Uh-huh.
And I told him where to go,
he came in and he ordered.
He wanted to check it out.
Yeah, he came in. They were cool. They came in with his friends, and they had, like, a couple beers and stuff, and then they ordered some stuff, and then they ordered this thing I have on called a couch potato. I used to make it for my family. I threw all the leftovers in a baked potato and then shoved cheese all over it and sour cream. So we do that with our smoked meat now. And so he got one of those, and he loved it so much he took one to go. So he was all, oh, my God, this is amazing. So then he starts standing on top of the bar taking pictures of all of us. And then he goes, mm-hmm. You have to take them all over again. You didn't smile, Charlie, not one smile. So then we had to retake pictures. So he had all the girls in the back, and he's going to make one of his movie posters out of our – cute mugs, so.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and was one of the girls named Catherine?
No. Oh, with
oh,
him?
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, the girl with him?
She was supposed to come and pose on some bikes yesterday for some pictures. I don't know what happened.
With the dark black hair?
Yeah.
Yeah, because she was talking about how she's going to do her hair, I know, because they were talking about it that day, so, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Very cool.
You guys going to go up Rider show, or you don't know yet?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we're going to head that way. I want to go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let me know when you got my phone number, so, well, I'll probably see you before then. We'll talk about it, but I was going to say, call me, and I'll come and get you and take you to the booth. You can meet some of the guys from SOA.
Well, that'll be fun. That'll be really fun. We had a big SOA finale party. We had a big thing every night, every Tuesday night, and everybody came and watched it on our big screen, so.
Well, you know, I have 30 to 40 people that go down to a bar in Oceanside, and they're always called for food. Now, if I knew this ahead of time,
next season.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
You might be able to meet Kurt and his wife.
That would
I heard
be fun.
They're going to make an appearance, but it's not confirmed yet. He's been supposed to make an appearance at a few things, and he hasn't shown up yet. It might have been the weather, though, but I don't know. We'll find out.
Hard to say. You'll find out this time, right?
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah, he's a real down to earth guy.
Way cool. Pete's a very
yeah,
cool guy. So he was just cool. He was a nice guy to meet. It was nice to, you know, make a new friend. He was cool.
Mhm. Yeah, and if you need any pictures taken, Pete's your guy.
He's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I should pull some of my food out. Let him start taking some pictures. Where did you live?
Up in L.A. area.
Oh, okay. Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he said, this is my new place I'm going to hang out when I start coming down this way. So he's
a
very, very cool guy. I appreciate you for that.
Well, no worries. And,
so we're having all of the East Coast people.
Well, they were there and then they weren't there. And sometimes when those people come in here, they screw everything up and people lose the chat or the phones.
Bummer. I was talking to chatting back and forth with David that was up there. He actually lives like right up by where we moved from. I grew up here. My dad was a Marine here, and then I was then I joined the Air Force, so I was over at Riverside, and then moved up to Merced. So I know exactly where David lives. He was chatting with me, saying where he lived and everything.
David's still there.
Very cool. That was interesting hearing the guys from Boston. They started talking about the atheists and stuff. I was interested to hear what they were going to say, and then they got off on tortellini.
Well, Gino used to be with one of the heavy hitter clubs, and now he's with a a Christian club, and he's doing his thing.
Very cool.
Yeah. And then David said to tell you he's
Saturday?
Here.
How many bikes? How many bikes were there Saturday?
How many bikes? Oh, there was like there was. Well, this time there was closer to 850 people. By Bill and mine's estimate, yeah.
I felt like that too. I was thinking, hey, I think that I was told someone. I don't know. It seemed like there was close to 1,000 bikes out there, but that could be me like over exaggerating. But it felt like a lot more than just 300-400 bikes.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that too, and a lot of people come and go. So.
Sure. I took some cool pictures just of all the bikes and stuff. So if you want, I can also send your email.
Yeah.
There's a lot of pictures I didn't take, but then a lot of pictures. Some of the ones I took cool pictures of bikes. You know, people at the bikes and a couple of the vendors. I'm interested to see the Pete's pictures that he took.
Yeah. Well, if he told you to send them to you, give him a couple of days. He's like. 1 or 2 days behind sometimes.
Cool. He has some couple. Does he have like a web page or something he posts them all on?
Yeah, it's PeteAlva.com.
Cool. I know he gave us a magazine that he's in. So.
Yeah, New York Writer. Yeah.
What's
yeah,
the name
I
of
happen
the
to. Yeah, I hooked him up with Well, he's actually doing some stuff too with there's about 6 or 7 people I hooked him up with. One of them's a singer out of Dresden, Tennessee. Her name is Stormy Montana. She's a phenomenal singer. And then that lady, Teresa Chaz, she's looking to use a guy named Frank Palangi we've had on our show. He's out of New York. And then just networking. That's how it works.
Cool. What's the name of his movie?
He hasn't got that far yet. He's still filming. He was just at Sturgis, and he was up riding around in a helicopter. He met some of the guys I work with there, and took pictures for them and sent them to him. So yeah, no, Pete's an all right guy. He's a stand up guy.
Cool. Were you stationed here at Camp Pendleton?
This is my last duty station, and I never left. When I found out I could ride my bike every day without a helmet in California, I never left. And then in 1992, they had to spoil it and tell me I didn't have a choice anymore.
Right. You know, the best part, I think, about going into Laughlin in April is when you ride across the bridge, you know, Randy hands his helmet back to me. I have my helmet back. We tuck him in. I strap him behind us, and off we go. It's like right as you cross the bridge right there across just on the other side just to get into Arizona. It's the best part is taking your helmet off.
Right. Well, you know, it all happened for me going on 3 years now, but I had a couple of clowns in Oceanside tell me they didn't like what I was wearing on my head. And needless to say, those two gentlemen aren't on a bike anymore. They're in a car and then usually they drive downtown and they're walking a beat. And nobody's really walked a beat in Oceanside since the early 90s. So they love me. They love me. But
Are you wearing a DOT official helmet now?
I got news for you. There is no such thing as a DOT official helmet. The Department of Transportation does not certify helmets. The manufacturer does. And I'll tell you this. The next time you see a motor cop and you pull up behind him at a red light, look at the back of his helmet because you won't see a DOT sticker because it's painted and they drilled a hole in it. So it ruins the structural integrity.
So it becomes a skull bucket after that.
There you go. Also, another thing is if they tell you to take it off, you don't have to take it off without a warrant.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yep. You don't have to take it off. I had a couple of them tell me, take my helmet off. They wanted to see my face. So the front of my – see, I have a couple of beanie helmets, bandana, and my full face.
Uh-huh.
So when I wear the full face, it's just to fuck with them because they tell me I'm incognito then. But when they pull me over and they want to see my face, they tell me to take the helmet off, and I tell them I'm taking it off. I just flip open the front. They go, what are you, a wise ass? I said, no, you wanted to see my face, not my whole head. If you just said I want to see your head, I had to take off my helmet. But you asked to see my face.
I don't like my whole face. It's still claustrophobic.
Yes, no, but it's I change. I switch up. Like I was riding the mechanic had an accident with my bike, and I was waiting to get it back, and I was riding a red Dyna. And I was sporting a full face, and I got pulled over a few times, and they said, oh, you're incognito now.
They didn't expect to see you on that or with
no,
the
and
helmet.
And then when I got my bike back, I was riding it, and I got pulled over twice, and the comment was made that, oh, I thought your bike got wrecked. No, it's the same bike.
It was getting fixed.
Right. It's just like, you don't have, you know, you don't have to take off your helmet, because when you do, the first thing he's going to do is flip it over. He's going to look inside. He's going to tell you that this isn't right, that isn't right, and there's no Dodge sticker on it. Even if you have, like, they doubled the fine in June of this year, but it's only, if you ride around without one, it's only $25. It's a fix-it ticket. But if you're wearing something on your head that they do not like, particularly like, it's $159 times two.
Oh, God. I don't know how Randy got away with it. He was about, well, just before he sold the bike, so it's been 2 months, 3 months now, he pulled out, he probably got four blocks without a helmet on, just, you know, taking off, forgetting, and drove right past the cop, and the cop just patted the top of his head, and Randy turned around, went back and got his helmet, put it back on, drove past that same cop, did a thumbs up as he drove by. I was like, how did you do that? How did you get away with that?
Yeah.
I don't even know.
Well, some of those guys, the older guys get it. The younger guys are trying to make a name for themselves. The same thing with our type, then, you know, Art says, don't unlatch your helmet or it can take it for an inspection. And it can be used as a weapon. So for officer safety, they tell you not, some will tell you not to take it off. It just depends. You know, it just depends.
I've taken out, took out all the padding in some of mine because I don't want to, which, you know, what's the point, I guess, but that's my choice. I'm a grown-ass woman. I don't have to wear, if I don't want to have all the padding and I don't have to, I can accept the penalties or whatever, but it's my choice. And I hate getting lectures from people. You know, I'm sure this is a topic you talk about often, but I hate getting lectures from people about how I should have a helmet. I'm not, it's a victimless crime. This is, you know, my choice. You know, this is what I choose to wear. My husband doesn't wear it. He wears a little skull, you know, brain bucket, basically. But that's his choice. He's a grown man. He's fought for his country. He's jumped out of 2,000 at least Blackhawks, jumped in and saved people who weren't technically missing. And he has a right to wear whatever the fuck he wants to wear. So.
Exactly. Well, you know, like I got an email today about Iowa, where the students are trying to change the Iowa helmet law in honor of their friend. So they're lobbying with the state legislators to make it a law that teens have to wear a helmet. See, like this guy here, his name is Kirkhoff, said that the DOT promotes the use of helmets through education. Drivers younger than 18 are required to take a 15-hour motorcycle safety course, but the course is available to everybody. And the average age of people that take that course is 45. So basically they're looking for a choice.
Right.
You know, these kids want the law to cover enough, make an impact, but not be so broad that it won't pass.
Well, information's power, and then it gives you the power to choose.
That's it. Everything's a choice.
I don't want people telling me how stupid that is, or it's their choice. They choose to do things. They choose to eat food that's going to kill them. They choose to take drugs that might kill them. They choose, you know, they read the fine print on most of their prescription medications. That's making a choice every day to kill themselves. So, you know, but they have a choice. Leave me alone with my choices.
No, that's just like if an officer cites for his own safety, he wants to frisk you. The U.S. Circuit Court, 10th Circuit Court, sided with the police on that one for officer safety. According to the FBI. Basically,
for their safety.
For their
Not
safety.
Not for our rights, for their safety. Our rights,
well, I don't know. I get pulled over usually. That guy's got a gun and another guy with him with a gun. So how unsafe can they not be?
Right. And this isn't like Arizona. We can't walk around. Unless I'm right. We can't walk around with an exposed gun. Is that correct? In California?
No, you can't.
Oh,
Not too long ago, Brown signed something. I forget what he signed, but yeah, type in open carry Oceanside and watch what comes up. This cop took a gun away from a guy and almost shot himself because he said, I'm a retired Marine, Master Sergeant or First Sergeant. I forget what he said, but he almost shot the guy with his own gun trying to clear it.
Kind of like some of the nice items that we had for sale earlier this week.
Yeah, and I asked that guy. I said, you know, everything on this table is illegal to sell now. Oh, bullshit. I said, okay. So he hit me up with an email yesterday. I sent him the knife law. He about to shoot a brick. He wrote back. He goes, what the fuck?
Yeah, I had pictures just like of our booth, and it included, you know, their stuff and in there because my camera can pick everything up. Randy goes, damn, what the hell is that guy selling? Does he know those are illegal?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he does, because he wasn't the kind of guy going, yeah, whatever, like shady, psst, hey, back here, I got this. He wasn't that guy. He had it all out there. Obviously,
yeah.
No.
You know, just like to go back to the helmet, just typed in, and I don't know if you know this, but in California, you can modify your helmet or even manufacture your own.
I'm gonna check out that modification log because there's some things on my helmet I hate. So.
Well, there's a friend of mine in San Diego. His name is Red Baron. He's a Bolt member. He also belongs to Bolt. And what he did was he sent a letter to his mother to certify her as the manufacturer of his skull and won his court case because they couldn't prove his mother didn't manufacture his skull.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. That's the kind of things we do in the courtroom.
Yeah,
if you go, like most people don't know, but if you go and get a continuance and then something happens and you can't go again, so you get another continuance, you can drag it out for a while until they say no, and then you have to appear. By that time, the guy's either forgot who you are, unless in
absolutely.
My case, you make
unless
an impression.
Yeah.
Unless you make an impression. Yeah. I had seven
of
them standing to my right, and I beat the case. And then the judge asked me if there's anything else. And I asked him for writ of habeas corpus to get my stuff back from the property department in Oceanside.
Did it work?
Absolutely. I have everything they took from me back. Just like they get nervous when they see me riding around. I had a 1-pound ball peen hammer on top of my saddlebag forever. And then I switched it to a 3-pounder. And it's not illegal to carry a hammer. If I put my name on it, it makes it personal, then it's a felony. So unless they're going to change my name to Master Mechanic, they can get fucked.
Snap-on. That's your new name.
No.
You're changing the show. Snap-on
no.
and Bill Show.
No. Actually, you know how I got that? There was four guys named Philip, and Bill got us all confused when somebody called and said, well, Philip called. He didn't know which Philip it was, so he gave us all nicknames.
That's how you got Screwdriver?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So we're down to the last 30 seconds. I got a nice song here that's going to take us out. And
everybody ride safe.
Yeah, you too. If you want to check out this song, it's only a few minutes long, and then everybody that chimed in tonight or was in the chat room and tuning in, I appreciate that. Like Bob Marshall said, people are downloading the show and listening to it at a later date, which is free of charge. You can go down and download the show and put it on your iPad, whatever you want to put it on, and listen to it at your leisure. But this one here is, this one's called Hell's Angels, Angels Never Die. And I'll see you guys Thursday.
This song is dedicated to all the angels who lived and died for respect, tradition, and honor and the colors of red and white. God bless you. We will never forget.
I miss
miss him right.